This sounded different from the fourth-dimensional city he had described before, because there, everything, even the planet, was fourth-dimensional or energy. D. I didn't think that occurred in a three-dimensional, physical place. P. The planet itself is three-dimensional. The beings which inhabit the planet are of a spirit nature and use the planetary energies in whatever manner they need to accomplish their purpose. D. Then the bodies are in a true physical bodies as we know them? P. That is correct. There is no corpuscular aspect to this being. It is an energy complex, of which there are many different forms, even on this planet. The form is a reflection of the purpose to be completed or the job that needs to be done. It is a uniform, free will, of the job that is in progress. D. I'm trying to understand. I thought if a person was pure energy, they would have no need for a body or a form. P. There is a misunderstanding here. There is such a thing as an energy body, if I can elaborate. The entity itself may draw many various energies around it to form a body of energy, which is not the same as a physical body. The energy body would have no physical dimensions or properties. It is pure energy. The energy which surrounds the entity is not the entity itself, it is a shielding or a vehicle of energy for the entity which is also energy. Does this clarify the picture? Again I was drawn into a line of thinking that was complicated and over my head. I could not comprehend it, so I chose to change the subject. D. Then your population would be fixed. P. The population varies because of some coming and some going. 96. The keepers of the garden. There are those who visit the planet also. You can use the analogy of immigrants to this planet Earth or this country. The population varies because some natives leave and some foreigners come in. So the population is always in flux. D. Are therefore in are the same type of beings as you are? P. You mean, are they of the same energy level? They would be of the same levels, but they would be from other areas. They would be visitors. D. Would that cause any problem with them adjusting to your way of life? P. There may sometimes be problems because of a new way of doing things, so to say. But it's for the learning experience that it happens, so it's good that it does happen, even though it may cause discomfort. The word stranger does not apply on this planet. The general outlook would be that anyone you meet is a brother or a sister. You may not be from similar backgrounds, but there is no animosity to someone you are not familiar with. This is the idea behind unconditional love. You may not know them from Adam, but you love them. D. When therforeiners come, ereth also without the need for a body. P. Yes, that's true. This concept was difficult for me to grasp. I was glad that Harriet had a question. H. How does one know another person then? P. If you or anyone in this room were sufficiently intuitive, each of you could be blindfolded and put in a room without seeing who you were in the room with. The intuitive recognition is the force at work here. There is on the energy level a universal awareness of the identity of other energies. Without any physical features or identities, it is and would be possible to recognize who you are with. We perceive each other as personality. The concept is difficult to relate, because all concepts must be based on a physical reference of which we are familiar with. It is very difficult to base a spiritual concept on a physical reference. But it can be said that there is a total recognition instantly. It is not a physical sight, but an all-encompassing knowing, a blending or recognition. H. That is what I was wondering, if you saw each other the same way we do. P. It is much more than merely seeing. It is a merging of sorts, of becoming or sharing the energies and not merely observing. The breakthrough to the three spires. 97. H. Was this planet your home for a long time? P. Yes, I was there for many eons. An eon is simply a description of a large amount of time. This description is simply to try to give you some idea of being on the planet for much time, a long time. This is somewhat inaccurate because there was no concept there of time passing. It would be more accurate to say there was much involvement for me on that planet, a working relationship with the civilization. I have worked there in many different forms and in many different ways on many different levels. D. I'm trying to understand the proper earth of this planet. Do you have cities that you live in? P. There is nothing. If you were to find yourself on this planet, you would see no cities, no buildings, nothing but natural vegetation like grass and a small amount of scrub or brush. However, this is insignificant because the whole point of being there would be missed. There is far more that you couldn't see than there would be that you could see in a mortal sense. You must think of this in terms of energy. This is not a physical civilization, this is an energy civilization. The planet itself is there, it is three-dimensional. You could reach down and pick up a handful of dirt on this planet. The spires are physical. They are three-dimensional and made of material from the planet. However, the civilization which inhabits this planet would be invisible to mortal eyes. You would be walking through the civilization and never know it. You would be in the midst of a civilization and never know it. Even as we are right now. There is a civilization of spirits and energies around us right now in this very room, in this very place as we speak. We are unaware of it for the most part. H. Do the spires serve another purpose on that planet besides being a monument? P. These are, as I said, twofold. There is an antenna effect of the spires, similar to the pyramid effect on this planet. The energy is of a much higher level which necessitates the physical shape of the spires. I don't know if you will understand, but in electronics the shape of the antenna is designated by the frequency of the wave or waveforms which it transmits or receives. The higher the frequency, the shorter the antenna. And in the same manner these spires are antennas exactly like the pyramids here on Earth. But they are for or of a different frequency and so they are spires instead of pyramids. They are specifically for the planetary, 98, the keepers of the garden communication of which we spoke earlier. The secondary purpose of these and a minor aspect of it, is a tribute to the evolution of the three civilizations that preceded. It is a tribute to the struggle or effort of that civilization much as the skyscrapers are a tribute to the evolution of humankind's technical prowess on this planet. The idea is the same. When the civilization first began to evolve on that planet, was it in different form than it is now? The civilization did not start on this planet. It had started in three-dimensional form on another planet and had progressed to the point of never needing to be in physical form again, and was then moved to this planet. Then these spires are monuments to the times that the civilization evolved to that point. In a secondary sense, yes. Earth is progressing in the same manner. There is coming a time where the souls of this planet will never need to incarnate in physical form again and will move en masse to another planet in order to continue their progressions to the Creator. This is what Earth is progressing to or through now. Why would we have to move? Why couldn't we accomplish these things on Earth? Would you like to stay in your third grade classroom and take fourth or sixth grade classes? Or would it be better to be in a new environment and start with a new frame of mind? If you were left in the same classroom, you would tend to think in the same terms. The frame of mind is very important. Rather like graduating to high school and then going to college and changing buildings each time. The physical move to the other buildings does affect the thinking and the attitude toward learning. If you stay in the same environment, you don't grow. Is that what you mean? You need the challenge of something new, a new place, new surroundings. New surroundings are very important to progression. Reminders of the past inhibit looking to the future. Well, what about what you're doing now by remembering? Is this going to bother you? Certainly not. We are not in our past here. We are in our future but looking back, which is healthy. To remember the past, however, one need not relive it nor dwell on it. Try to learn things from it and go on from there. D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, D. The breakthrough to the three spires, 99, P. This is an experience for me wherein my past is integrated with my future. This is my integration on this planet Earth. D, then the other planet we looked at before, although it seemed to me to be highly evolved, was not anywhere an Earth planet you're a speaking of now. P. That planet was an abstract of the relevant ideas. It was not time to recall totally. It was based on fact, however, it was not the total truth. It was the edges of the cake, so to say, without having the whole cake. The crust versus the cake, and it satisfied its purpose at that time. D. This puzzled answer surprised me. It was not really an untruth, it was just P. the truth in measured doses. It was pieces of the whole picture. It was important for Harriet to be here before I could recall the whole experience. She supplied the extra needed energy. I was not whole until now, and so, it was not time without being whole. The information was of actual places, yes. The experiences are true. The idea of it being in another place is an effort on your part to condense this to black and white. Please think of it in terms of gray or different shades. Information was asked for. There could be no total or whole disclosure, so only as much was released as was allowed at that time. It was accurate in part, but not in whole. If you need a label of truth, it is truth. It may be partial truth, however, it is in itself truth. Does this make sense to you? It really didn't. I am used to things being black and white and not having gray areas. P. If someone were to describe a story of an actual event of something which happened to them, but they only told of certain details of this event, of only the parts which they felt comfortable talking about, would the parts in themselves be truth? The pieces of the story which were told were in fact merely pieces of the whole story. The perception, that is how you or each of you would perceive, is beyond my ability to diagnose, because that is something only you can determine. All I can say is, it was merely pieces of the whole story. How you perceive them is entirely up to you and your experience or knowledge or feeling at that time. Thus it would appear that the story Phil had given me of his life in the strange city was truth to a point. But there must have been, 100, the keepers of the garden, much, much more beneath the surface that for some reason he was uncomfortable relating to me. This would have been especially true in the beginning of our work, when his subconscious was just starting to allow the release of information. It allowed only those things to come through that it felt Phil could comfortably handle. We never did return to that life to discover just what it was that he had kept hidden. We had many other avenues to explore. I returned to trying to understand this energy civilization on a three-dimensional planet. D. Then I am correct in assuming that the evolution that civilization, Three Spires, has presently reached, they would need no food or clothing or housing of any sort. They have evolved beyond that. P. Not entirely. As we discussed earlier, there are even within the civilization itself, levels of advancement where some are more advanced than others. The civilization as a whole could be taken to be more advanced than the human civilization at this point. There are achievers in all civilizations where some evolve more quickly than others. And so the slower or less achievers tend to need, possibly, things like food or shelter or clothing, and they create that which they need. So it is not entirely accurate to say that they don't eat, they don't drink, or they don't breathe, because their experiences are very real. They are not three-dimensional, but they are no less real. D. These beings that need these requirements, are they aware of the other beings? P. Certainly. Professors are aware of illiterates, and the illiterates are certainly aware of the professors. D. I see. I thought they might be different in a way that they wouldn't know each other. Was the P. The race is conscious of itself. There are levels above that race that they may be conscious of but unaware. They may know that these exist, however, they may not perceive it, and so it goes to the level above them and the level above them. D. This is getting a little complicated. But if they need food or anything like that, they concretely eat with their own minds. The more highly evolved find no need to create these things? P. That could be said. However, a want for food is not necessarily an indication of evolution. It may simply be a pleasure, and there is nothing wrong with pleasure. Entertainment is also healthy. It need not be considered damaging to one's evolution to be entertained. If food is entertainment and not necessary or craving, so be it, to each his own. The breakthrough to the Three Spires, 101, D. Then the beings there would not be born, as we understand it. P. Exactly. There is no physical birth or death. Simply a growing in awareness. D. Is this what you meant when you said before that they merely formulated and deformulated the bodies when they wished to go on? P. in the fourth dimension that is accurate. D. Some people want to live forever, so I couldn't see why anyone would want to deformulate if I had the power to continue in that form. Why they would want to change, to die, so to speak, and go on to something else. P. Do you understand now? D. I think so. As you said, it would get boring, there would not be the challenge anymore. P. Yes, if the lessons you were learning were finished, then there would be a casting off of the experiences which taught those lessons, and an assuming of new experiences to learn the new and more advanced lessons. It is simply climbing ladders, Fuwil, where each level of experience is in growing in awareness from the one below it, and so the surroundings which will be the catalyst for these experiences will be discarded as the new experiences are needed. I began to feel that I would be unable to come up with any more questions. I was unaccustomed to speaking along these lines. I feel more at home delving through history, looking for something that can be checked and followed up on. In this way I feel more in control and can plan the course of future sessions. This metaphysical dimension with its strange and unfamiliar concepts was out of my range. I had no idea of what direction the next sessions should take. This was the reason for my uncertainty as I asked my next question: what would be the purpose of pursuing this line of questioning? P. D. P. D. P. Have you been made more aware of what's going on in the unseen worlds? I think so. It will take time to absorb it and by to understand. Then the purpose has been made. Would there be a purpose in continuing? Certainly, if one wishes. If one wishes not to, then so be it. There is no dictate or command or law which says one must do this or that. It is what one wishes to do or feels comfortable with. There is much to learn and we have much information we can give you. You have more questions than can be answered, but they must be. 102. The keepers of the garden, from within and not from without. We would hope that this does continue. It would appear that Harriet had unknowingly allowed Phil to tap her energy, thus acting as an excellent battery. Maybe without her backup, this breakthrough would not have been possible. Harriet occasionally sat in on other sessions, but her presence was never absolutely necessary again. When Phil awakened, he sat thinking about his strange emotional reaction to the sight of the three spires. It did not bother him once he was conscious, but he felt a lingering feeling of melancholy. He tried to explain what he felt. It was very real. But in a way, I am sorry I tapped into that. I don't know quite how to describe it. It is a very bittersweet feeling. On the one hand, I have the very strong feeling of being there, and I'm sorry I remembered that feeling because I had forgotten it and the pain had ceased. But yet on the other hand, I am so glad to have been able to recall that. I suppose you could compare it to seeing someone whom you had loved very dearly and had a very close and very loving relationship with years ago. Like two people could have been very, very deeply in love and then through some situation they had split up or had to go their separate ways. You've completely forgotten about them and gone on with your life and experienced a whole bunch of other stuff. They have been way back and you never even thought about them in years. And then, out of nowhere, you see them and meet them again and all those feelings come right back. Yet, in a way, you feel very sorry to have seen them again. But in the same breath, you're very glad to see them again. Of course, I haven't ever experienced anything like that, but it was that kind of a feeling. I feel sad, but now I know I can go back. I mean, I have never really left there. In one real sense, it is like I have left there only in my attitude. And I feel happy to know I have found it again. This had been a strange session. His reaction was totally unexpected. Normally the sight of a scene containing three towers would not emotionally affect someone, unless of course they had strong personal ties to that place. This adds validity to the regression. Even his explanation of his feelings is complex and not the type that would ordinarily be fantasized. I believe Phil actually did unearth a real place where he had experienced many lifetimes. It seemed more of a home to him than Earth ever could. Maybe this was the place he, the breakthrough to the Three Spires Den, 3, was unconsciously trying to return to, that day on the beach when he almost ended his life. If so, he now realized he had not truly lost contact with it. He could return to it any time he wanted to with his mind. Even though the initial feeling was bittersweet, he had begun to find peace at last. He was beginning to understand himself. We had opened the door and we were to return to the planet of the Three Spires many times to gain information of much importance. The way had been cleared for the fluent exchange of knowledge. Chapter 11, Rushing to Earth's Aid. Phil's ability to enter into deep trance and answer a variety of questions had become more and more evident. The presence of other people such as Harriet seemed to provide the boost that was needed to really open up his facilities. He seemed to become more at ease and more lucid the longer we experimented. But he was leading into areas that were foreign and confusing to me, and I was running out of questions to ask. I was used to exploring history through past lives, not dealing with abstract, philosophical ideas and totally unfamiliar concepts. During this time we all had been attending meetings with a group of people who were interested in psychic and metaphysical topics. These meetings were held quite informally at a private residence. There often was no scheduled format and those attending would discuss whatever subject happened to be brought up. Since Phil knew the people, I thought he might feel at ease if I put him under during the regular meeting. He was not seeking notoriety, this was a very personal thing to him. Thus very few outside this group even knew what we had uncovered. My suggestion to put him into trance in public was not intended for the purpose of putting on a show. It was mainly to help me get a different perspective of this new phenomenon. I thought it would be interesting to see if he could answer questions from a group. This would give me a chance to sit back and evaluate and think of the direction our work should take. This session was an experiment and we didn't know what kind of questions to expect, or what kind of answers either. As might have been expected, many of the questions asked by the group were of a personal nature. People took advantage of the situation to see if they could get answers for problems in their lives. And 104, Rushing to Earth's Aid. 105, Phil was like a baby beginning to take his first steps, groping to discover what he could do and how far he could go as he became comfortable with this newfound ability. There were about 10 people at this first session, but later the group grew to almost 30 as curiosity seekers learned of the experiments. I didn't know at the time that Phil would become so popular at these meetings that it would be many months before we would be able to have a private session again. By the time we again met in private, I was looking forward to it because I had found the group sessions were not the conducive atmosphere for my type of work. There was no chance to expand upon an interesting idea or question that someone had brought up. I could only make notes of things I wanted to pursue at a later date. At least I became more at ease with this type of channeling. The following is some information pertinent to this book that came through during the group sessions. When the elevator door opened and he saw the strange planet, Phi again exclaimed, "It's home, it's my home." This time he was not so emotional. It was just an accepted fact, a welcome one. He was asked to describe and explain the meaning of the three spires. P. The spires represent three separate levels of achievement for the peoples on this planet. There was a transition from the physical to the spiritual. For the entire population no longer needed to be an incarnate form and migrated en masse to the other dimensions. The migration was from the physical to the ethereal or spiritual. The population remained on a physical planet, however, they no longer needed to be in physical form. This is the meaning of the first spire. The second spire is a level of achievement on the spiritual plane. A graduation from the lower to higher energy levels. This is not something that would be apparent to physical entities. The third spire is the achievement which has been accomplished at this point in time and is simply another graduation. D. Did something happen to Dragathis? Something that made them decide to graduate? P. Not so much triggered or made, but accomplished. The evolution was a byproduct of the graduation, or an effect. D. They no longer felt the need to be physical or to be encumbered, so to speak, and they shed their physical bodies and became pre-energy? 106. The keepers of the garden. P. Exactly. D. Can you tell me what type of energy you were? P. There are many different types of energy. A discourse into the details of the peculiarities or differences would be meaningless. D. I have heard many Pheops speak of light beings, N. Urgy beings of light. I wondered if it were similar. P. A being of light is an energy being who must present himself in such a way as to become apparent to a mortal. In other words, to present himself in a way that can be detected by the mortal's senses. This is a manifestation of their outward appearance. The energy is of the universe. Types of energy are as varied as races of people or as grains of sand. Many different energies can be a being of light. This is merely one aspect of the perception by the mortal from a physical point of view. Thus an energy can appear as light. A being could also be a being of touch or hearing. A being could be a being of snow, which is not unknown. Light is simply one of the five senses available to allow the human to know he is in the presence of an energy being. D. Could these also be detected by our so-called sixth sense? P. Certainly. There are many levels which the human has available but is merely unaware of. The light beings are simply using one manifestation which is common and convenient and familiar with humans. The human will eventually reach a stage such as this, but it is not immediate. There is a climbing or acclimation which is necessary in order to shed the mortal customs or familiarities, and to become more accustomed to a being. D. If you were so happy there, why did you feel a need to leave that planet? P. The feeling was not of need. There was no needing or necessity, but a desire to assist. It was simply a choice, a free and voluntary choice. This was a mission which many have undertaken to assist. The purpose is the same as that of all others who have been drawn here, to uplift, to enlighten, to assist in any way at any time. We could use parables again. When a son or daughter leaves home for college, it is sad because home holds such an emotional tie. But it's also beneficial to leave even though the attachments are so strong. So this would be an analogy of leaving home to go to school. This is a learning experience. D. The spints from your planet were told to come to Earth to inhabit bodies here and help the planet? P. To be told is not accurate. It was entirely voluntary by all who are rushing to Earth's aid. 107. D. P. D. P. D. Transmigrators. There is not a single star person on this planet who did not wish to be here. It was completely voluntary. The situation was presented. It might be described as an opportunity which was presented. Many chose, many more would have liked to have chosen to participate, but were unable to, for whatever reason. Some reasons are because of situations they were in at the time. They had not finished their work at that time, or there simply were not vehicles ready to accept that number of volunteers. If star people are coming onto Earth in such increasing number at this time and inhabiting human bodies, where are the native Earth spirits going to? There is the assimilating of information on the spirit side, which is somewhat of a holding pattern for the entities. It is now time to let the star people into the physical, and so raise the consciousness on the physical level while those on the spirit level assess and increase their awareness of that side. So it could be said that the natives or home team, as far as the individual vehicles they use, were in the dugout while the visitors are at bat. Then they don't really go away, they just go into a holding pattern? That is correct, or into the spirit envelope of the Earth. Well, wouldn't it be more or less a come down to enter back into a physical body? P. It would be different. This is a new and very worthwhile experience. It is not a matter of inferiority. It is simply a new adjustment to a new environment. D. I thought it might be like going backwards to come back into a very limited physical existence. P. The experience here would not be undertaken if there would be no growth. So in this respect any hardship or discomfort is simply part of the experience or growth. Let me give an example. You're comfortable in your car on a hot, muggy day, and you've got your air conditioning on, or it's possibly raining, and you come upon a stranger with a flat tire. You might stop and get out of your comfortable surroundings, roll up your shirt sleeves and change that tire for the stranger who may be unable to change his own tire. You have assumed a somewhat more primitive environment than the one you have just left. However, the purpose is what is important here. The helping of the stranger advances not only your status but that of a stranger's as well. And so you may both continue on your journeys. If you wish to. 108. The keepers of the garden paraphrase, Earth has a flat tire at this point, and there's a galactic effort in changing this flat tire.